Imagine at 13 years old being abandoned by your mother and being left to take care of your younger brother. This is the story of Harmony, who after this became susceptible to a relationship that turned out to be toxic, abusive, and ultimately exploitive. She eventually found herself working in a strip club under the control of a pimp. In a crazy, God-like turn of events, she discovered a path to freedom. This is her story. We get to talk to Harmony today in this exclusive interview. I actually read her book a long time ago, and I am so honored that she's sharing her story. I know you are going to find so much hope and encouragement and freedom from her testimony. Now, if you are not connected with a sisterhood, with a community of like-minded women, and you could use some encouragement, you could use some just fellowship with other Christian women who are striving to follow Jesus, who want to walk in freedom, I invite you to join the Girl Defined membership, where we have exclusive workshops, daily activities and challenges and community. Just go to girldefined.com/member, girldefined.com/member. Now let's get into this conversation. Harmony, thank you so much for joining us on the Girl Defined show. We actually shared a bunch of your beautiful information and resources on our podcast. We did an episode on OnlyFans, and your information on OnlyFans was so just like mind-blowing and helpful. And when we released that episode, we didn't know what the response was going to be, because our audience is largely kind of like Christian and a lot of women who grew up in the church. And so we were like, is this going to be relevant for them? Are they wrestling with, should I get on OnlyFans? Should I not? And the response was overwhelming. And we were getting DMs and emails saying, thank you. Nobody is talking about this. And obviously we redirected them to your resources. And so we were like, we need to get Harmony on. Her organization, her story is so helpful and inspiring. So thank you for making the time to be on the Girl Defined show today.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. I'm so glad to be here.
And now tell us about Treasures, the organization that you founded. What is the purpose of it, and what inspired you to start that?
Yeah. So Treasures is an outreach and recovery program for women who have experienced exploitation and trafficking in the commercial sex industry. And what inspired me to start it is my own history. I'm a survivor, also known as a lived experience expert. And yeah, after I walked away from exploitation and was able to leave my exploiter, and there weren't really resources for women like me at the time. That was 2003. It was 21 years ago. And the issue of trafficking wasn't really, you know, public knowledge. And so I felt very isolated. I felt very alone. I was convinced that I was like the only one walking through what I was walking through. And so, and I had to piecemeal a recovery program for myself because there weren't ones that existed. And after I got some healing for myself, I really wanted to be able to create something that would be a resource for women, and so that they would know that they're not alone and that there would be support available to them. And it's not lost on me that I have spent 21 years giving other women what I wish I had.
That's amazing that you have dedicated so much time to helping other women. I'm just curious what the response has been over the years, like when you launched Treasures, kind of how it started, and then until now. Do you have just, I don't know, some stories of women who you've met, or just testimonies of women who, you know, have just come across your resources and were like, wow, thank you. Like, this is what I needed.
I am not exaggerating when I say we have thousands of those stories. It has been, I never expected this. I mean, the way I started Treasures, I was sitting across, because I was involved in pimp-controlled exploitation in strip clubs. And I was sitting across from the strip club where I used to work and just praying for the women and just wishing I could do something. And I didn't know what to do. I happened to have a small stack of postcards in my console, and they said, her value is far above rubies and pearls. And I was like, that's the message I want to give to the women. I just started writing little handwritten notes and putting them on their cars. And I started thinking, I wonder if I could do this at more clubs. I wonder if people would want to join me. I was just about to start grad school at UCLA. I got my master's in social welfare. And I was like, oh, maybe one day I'll start Treasures. But it's so funny, because I actually took the idea to a pastor at the church, and I was just kind of spitballing and brainstorming about what I thought I might do one day. And he was like, you have to start it. You have to start it now. And I'm like,
wow,
No, maybe after grad school. And he really pushed me. In fact, he went so far as to one day he was like, I want to start recruiting volunteers for you. I mean, he was like not letting up.
Wow.
And he's like, I just need a vision statement from you. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to have time to write one. You know, I'm so busy. And he wrote one for me and started recruiting volunteers. And the reason I started Treasures is because I had volunteers that I had to figure out what to do with. And wow. It's just so funny. And I just like look back and like, I had no idea what I was getting into. I didn't even know what a nonprofit was. I didn't know what a 501c3 was. Yes. So it was, and then going out to strip clubs that first night, it's so wild because one of the things that I've always valued is survivor leadership. And my prayer the very first night is that women that we met that night would be future leaders in the movement. Mm-hmm. And two things happened our first night. Number one, I was shocked by the receptivity. The clubs were open arms to us. They were so welcoming. They recognized, so many of them recognized the needs of the women and that they didn't have the resources to support them. You know, obviously there are exceptions to that, but by and large, that was the response, especially because we came with a heart posture of, we're not here to fix or change anyone. We're not here to rescue. We're just here to let the women know that they're loved and support is available. And we've been through it too. A lot of us are survivors, or have been in the industry. And I found that that messaging was really one that open doors in a way that was shocking to me. The other thing that happened that night is there was a woman on that first outreach who received one of our gifts who became a leader on the Treasures team later and literally answered to prayer. And even to this day, you know, about a third of our staff are survivors, anywhere from a third to half, depending on season. And about a third are survivors and they also have come through Treasures. And so it's just beautiful to see, you know, that seed form of a vision come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I could talk all day, but there's just been so many monumental moments along the way where Treasures has been given certain platforms or exposure that has led to just an absolute groundswell of women reaching out for support. So, and, you know, we've been able to support them and we have so many stories of women whose lives have been transformed and who have been so impacted. And it's mind blowing to me. I sometimes just sit back and I can't believe it myself.
Wow. And now going back to that, like that first time when you were like, okay, I'm going to go stick these cards on the windshields, or this is what I want women to know. What gave you personally like the courage and the strength to go do that with your own story? Like, that you had walked through?
You know, I definitely thought I might be crazy. I phoned a friend and I was like, I'm about to do this. Am I crazy? And she was like, no, do it. Mm-hmm. And I really think that the support that I had from my community was a huge part of that. And I really felt compelled. And I think it really comes down to a sense of calling. When I was walking through my own recovery process, I had this really like deep kind of sense and knowing that every decision I made along the way was going to matter and that I needed to, walk a path that I would feel comfortable telling other people about. Mm-hmm. It like gave me a sense of accountability because I always had this sense that, you know, I was going to support other women somehow. And so, It felt natural. Like, I feel like it's such a deep sense of calling in my life that I would feel wrong if I wasn't doing this, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And just like incredible. You're such a strong woman. It's just so inspiring and so amazing. There's someone in my city, I live in San Antonio, who has started a similar sort of ministry specifically for San Antonio. And it's just such incredible and needed work. And so I'm just so grateful for women like you. And even though at Girl Defined, our ministry looks a little bit different. It's such a privilege and honor to have women like you, that we can say, hey, like here is an organization that you can support or get involved with. And so, I love that we get to have this conversation with you. I I had mentioned to you that I, at some point, I don't know when, I came across your book, Scars and Stilettos, and I read it and I just remember like crying and being overwhelmed and just like, oh my goodness. And then you're just your whole story and your whole testimony. At some point you came to know Jesus and you now, that is a part of your story. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah. I mean, it was a big part of my story. Where do I even start? I mean, really, it all started with a friendship, someone who reached out to me and just loved me unconditionally. She didn't judge me. I would trickle truth. I would share little bits of truth about what was happening in my life, and I would watch her response. And every time I shared something, I experienced nothing but love and compassion, and it made me trust her. And I began to open up my life to her in a way that I began to like allow her friendship in. And it was really transformative for me because she was a woman who had a really strong sense of identity. She had boundaries. She just really was healthy. And it was a model for me that I really had not had before. And she would invite me to church, but our friendship was not contingent on that. She never made me feel like I was like a project. There was just nothing condescending about it, you know?
Yeah,
and
that's
eventually
amazing.
I actually went to church with her because my grandma was in town and I thought my grandma would like it. And I had never been to church. Yeah, I had never been before. And my grandma was like, Harmony, this is a fanny wagon church. Because she was Baptist and very conservative. Hilarious. And this church was like very like boisterous and worship and, you know, all the things. But I fell in love and I just really, you know, decided to pursue a relationship with God. And, you know, so much of what happens with complex trauma and with the trauma of exploitation, especially when it's like pimp controlled or, you know, there's traffickers or third parties involved and there's brainwashing and there's manipulation and there's psychological coercion. And part of the tactics that traffickers use is kind of a dismantling of identity. And, you know, many women and girls and people, many people, because it doesn't just happen to women and girls, but many people who have experienced exploitation or end up in the commercial sex industry have histories of sexual abuse already. So already there tends to be, you know, struggles with shame and guilt and the things that survivors of abuse deal with. And then you compound that with an exploiter capitalizing on and exploiting that vulnerability further. And just the way it damages your identity cannot be overstated. You know, there's a sense of like identity disturbance and disruption in your sense of identity and sense of self. So all that to say, one of the really powerful things for me that I experienced in my relationship with God is an opportunity to discover the truth of my identity and replace all those negative, destructive things I believed about myself with a new way of thinking and new paradigms. And that was super, super powerful in kind of setting the stage for the healing that needed to happen and for the decisions that I need to make made. So when I finally left my exploiter and when I finally left the strip clubs, it wasn't because people were telling me I should do that. It was because my sense of identity was changing in such a way that being in those environments and being in those toxic relationships was no longer true to who I began to realize I am. So it was a huge part of it.
That's so interesting. So you're saying it was like this new sense of identity and this new purpose and this new understanding you were gaining. It was less of like, you need to get out of there. This is so terrible for you. It was more like, no, like, look what you were made for. Look who God says you are. Is that kind of what the idea of what you're saying?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I remember one night I was very, can I just be candid about some things? Mm-hmm. Can we get a little like not peaky?
Yes, please.
Okay. Edit it out if you need to. But
please.
You know, I spent most of my life in a state of like freeze and appease and being very appeasing. But I got to a point when I was in the strip clubs where I became so angry at the customers that I became known for if they would violate me or assault me in any way, which was very common. It's part of the job. I would retaliate violently. And some police officer told me that if I counted to 10, I had 10 seconds reaction time and I would not be held accountable for the 10 things I did in the 10 seconds. I don't know if that's true, but that's what they had told me. So I would take off my stiletto and I would beat the customers with the stiletto. And I just became like so angry, so hardened. And I already had made this vow to myself to never cry. Like I was just, that's kind of the state I was in. And yet this experience of developing intimacy with God began tearing down some of those walls and connecting me to some of the vulnerability, which was very hard because I couldn't afford to be vulnerable in that environment. But anyways, the point being, one night I found myself just feeling on the verge of tears and very tenderhearted. And I felt like I had this revelation. If I was truly created with a purpose, this cannot be it. Mm. And it was from that kind of sense of revelation about who I am and what I'm created for that caused me to make changes in my life so that I was living consistently and not in contradiction with who I know I am.
Mm, that's so beautiful. And I love that way of thinking. It's something I have been thinking about more and more, just this whole idea. My pastor was actually talking to me about it. He's like, we need to think more in terms of like, what were we created for? Where are we going? Instead of always like, what are we against? What are we not for? You know, even as Christians, like, what are we for? And even our identity, like, what were we made for? And I just love seeing even how that has tied into your own story. And that's honestly one of the reasons Kristen and I did the whole episode on OnlyFans, is because we live even now, like if you've, you know, fast forward from when you started, you know, Treasures 20 years ago until now, the world has changed a lot. And at least the accessibility of what women can do and OnlyFans and online and all of this stuff. So yeah. I would just love to hear from you, maybe some of your insight, some of your wisdom to help women, young women, women who are living in this day of, you know, day and age of TikTok and, you know, social media and OnlyFans and it almost being like glamorized to kind of just like, you know, exploit yourself. And it's almost like, yeah, look at all this money you can make. And, you know, and behind the scenes, I'm sure you've had tons of conversations. Even that one episode we did, we got so many emails from young women just sharing some of their stories, you know, and a lot of it, it was really secret. They were like, no one knows I did this or no one knows I was thinking about doing this. So can you just help us understand like why is, you know, basically exploiting yourself, putting yourself on an OnlyFans, like why is that not empowering for a woman? And why is that like actually the opposite?
Oh my gosh, I could spend 3 hours talking about that. What I would say to that is, you know, the money is good, but the price is high. And I think a lot of people who are going, let's just assume someone's choosing and not, doesn't have a third party that's controlling them. If someone's making that choice, I think oftentimes there might not be an awareness of what the cost is. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, some of the things that I found really problematic with it are, number one, the industry makes you a product, not a person. Mm-hmm. And living as a product and living as an object is really difficult. And again, it goes back to like really taking a toll on your sense of self and your sense of identity. Mm. For many of us who are in the commercial sex industry, we end up creating an alter ego or persona. Most people have performer names, right? And there, I mean, I can't really think of any other career where you have to create an alter ego in order to you know, survive in it or to be able to do your job. But one of the reasons we do that is to create distance between ourselves and what we're doing and to protect ourselves. So it's a protective kind of layer, a protective mechanism in a lot of ways. And I know for myself, I created a whole identity that was Monique. And, you know, Monique was not a real human being. Monique was a compilation of other people's fantasies. And my whole identity as Monique was built on what other people want, need, and feel, what other people desire. And Monique had nothing to do with my own dreams, desires, wants, needs, feelings. And so the more I spent time living in that identity of Monique, the more disconnected from my truest self I became. And it is very difficult to toggle between those two things. And I know for myself and for many women that we support, we end up feeling like we get lost in that identity. I know another thing that it, you know, was difficult for me and can become problematic for many people is that all of your relationships and interactions in the industry are transactional. and you know, you are a sexual object and you're treated like an object. I mean, I can't even go into just how horrific it is when the demand does it what it does, and demand, like, to just be on the other end of the way you're spoken to, the way you're treated, the way you're touched, the way you're handled. It's for me, you know, and I think for a lot of us with histories of sexual abuse, there's a sense of familiarity with it because we're used to being sexualized and objectified for many of us. And we're used to not to feeling a sense of powerlessness over our own bodies. The industry kind of gives you this false sense of empowerment. Like, I can take back my sexuality and use it for myself.
Yeah.
But really the person with the power is the person with the money. And it's not long before you realize that you really aren't empowered because you're at the mercy of the person with the money and you're at the mercy of the demand. And, yeah, so all of those things make it very difficult. And then it's, for many of us, it ends up impacting our other interpersonal relationships because it kind of diminishes your sense of trust in other people, your belief that other people could value you for anything outside of your sexuality. I'm telling you, I could go on for 3 hours, but that's where I'll start.
Yeah. And we'll link, I mean, you've posted videos and you have some amazing resources online, and, you know, that's what we pulled, on the OnlyFans episode. We pulled a bunch of great points that you had made. So y'all can all link it below, 'cause that's a bunch of Harmony stuff as well, which is just super, super helpful. I know that in our community here at Girl Defined, we have women who were sexually abused who either have not been able to take steps to, like, start that recovery because they're just like, they don't know who to talk to, they don't know who to tell, and they just feel stuck. So to that woman who is struggling and in that place, maybe of feeling even hopeless or just like, what is my future? What is my identity? Like, what hope and next steps can you offer her?
Oh my gosh. I mean, well, one thing I will say is that abuse is perpetuated and fostered by secrecy. And I personally have found that one of the most powerful steps that I took and that I've seen to be the same for so many of the women I've supported is to break the silence and to find a safe person to share with. And, you know, if you can find, even if there's like a low cost clinic in your area, someplace to find resources for healing and recovery. And I know that that can be so hard. It's so hard to face, but, you know, we can't fix what we don't face. And if we don't deal with our trauma is going to deal with us, and it's going to manifest in other ways. It's going to manifest in addictions. It's going to manifest in toxic relationship patterns. It's going to manifest in lack of self-esteem. It's going to manifest in, you know, depression, anxiety, PTSD, right? And so yes, the recovery process is hard, but it's worth it and you are worth it. And I would encourage them to reach out for help. There is a website, we can put it in the link, but it's the sexual assault and violence something resource website, so that people can use that as a starting place to try to find places near there that offer support. And I believe they have a hotline as well. Definitely don't think you can deal with it alone. Don't think that time heals all wounds, because it doesn't. that needs to be processed.
And now talking to you, it's like,
you can get through it. Like, it's not, you know, like, it feels like, I mean, I just remember the first time. Can I go on a little tangent?
Absolutely. Please. Yes.
Okay. It's so wild. So and a lot of us repress and are very disconnected from our histories of abuse, right? Because that's one of the things we have to do, is compartmentalize and repress as a coping mechanism. Some of us, especially if the abuse started very young, engage in a lot of dissociation. We have memory lapses. And I remember, for me, my recovery journey from sexual abuse began with a friend telling me about her own history of abuse. And while she was telling me, I went, I now I know, and I have the language to say, I went into freeze. I just was shutting down. I was floating away. I was absolutely disconnected from the conversation because my body went into the state it knows how to protect itself. That's what my nervous system did. And later we talked about that situation because later it came out that I had been sexually abused as well. But she was like, Harmony, when you were sitting there and looking at me, I thought, oh my gosh, Harmony is usually a really compassionate, empathetic person, but she doesn't seem to care at all. She is like in another world. Like she seems like she's thinking about something else, but I was in freeze. And I got into a situation where I really realized that I had to deal with my history of sexual abuse. And I decided to go to therapy. One of the hardest things I've ever had to sign up for. I did not want to have to drive in traffic to go to therapy. Thankfully, now we have Zoom, and pay money to someone to deal with stuff and talk about stuff that I don't even want to talk about in the first place. And then I was mad because I didn't cause the mess, but I had to pay to clean it up. And one of my favorite sayings is Dr. Henry Cloud and Townsend. Dr. Cloud and Townsend, they say, it's not your responsibility if you get hit by a truck. It's not your fault if you get hit by a truck, but it's your responsibility to learn to walk again. And so I showed up and I began that process of sexual abuse healing. And I'm here to tell you that if I hadn't, I would not be where I am today. I would not be able to run an organization that helps other women with their trauma if I hadn't processed my own. And maybe that's not going to be the trajectory for someone else. It doesn't have to do with you being in a place to help other people process trauma, but there are things probably in your life that are going to be more difficult for you to do, accomplish, even when it comes to personal, emotional intimacy and relationships, right? There are going to be barriers to that when we have unprocessed trauma. So I would just encourage anyone listening who has been like, I don't want to deal with it, join the club and make the phone call. Nobody wants to deal with it.
Well, and I know, you know, obviously right now looking at you, it's like, oh, like, well, Harmony, you're so amazing. Like, you know, it's hard to rewind in time and imagine you being like, oh my goodness, like, I don't want to do this because you're just so beautiful and confident. And, you know, it just seems like, no, like, you don't get, you know, it just seems so hard for that woman. Like, what? But tell us, like, okay, that, you know, you're paying this money. You're like, I don't want to have to deal with this. I don't want to have to talk about this. Rewinding back to that part of the story. How long did it take you to get to the point where you were like, I'm seeing the benefits? Like, I see, okay, this is hard, but I'm seeing like, yes, this is making a difference. And I'm like, I'm glad I'm doing it. Was there ever a point where you're glad you're doing it or that you saw like, okay, this is changing my life? Tell us a little bit more about that.
You know, I'm glad you asked that question. And I want to address the things you were initially saying about how put together I look. Don't let me forget to address that because that's important. For me, the recovery process, it just feels like you're not getting anywhere. And because it can feel so slow, but then you look back and you realize how far you've come.
Wow.
And there weren't any, I really can't recall any huge moments. I mean, there are some moments of like there are so many revelations. There's so many like little breakthroughs along the way, but I've never had the feeling like, like I've arrived. I think I did that backwards. I think you're supposed to, and then whatever. And in fact, I am still in therapy. And in fact, I am uncovering new layers of very freshly, very newly, and very proactively uncovering new layers of how trauma is impacting my life. And that might not be the case for everybody. You know, for me, I do struggle with complex PTSD. I have a history of chronic trauma, pervasive trauma. My whole life was trauma, right? And even since I've left the life, I've had, unfortunately, a lot of trauma, which sometimes happens for those of us who are caught in generational cycles of trauma and abuse and addiction. You might start to do the recovery work, but the people around you and the world around you and the people you know and love are still struggling. And so, you know, dealing with like just a lot of tragedies and a lot of grief and a lot of trauma along the way. And so I'm still in the process. And I don't say that in a way that is like, at least now I'm in a place where I'm enjoying the revelations a little more. And I'm like,
yeah,
I have the stability and I have the foundation. So I'm enjoying my life And I'm still having to do the hard work, you know? Whereas back then it kind of felt like, oh my gosh, this is all my life is the hard work, you know?
That makes sense. And what did you want to say about looking put together?
That's it. That I'm still in therapy. And like literally I'm currently reading Complex PTSD and I have to listen to it. It's a book on trauma. And I have to listen to it like 3 minutes at a time because that's how much I'm having to really digest what I'm learning and the revelations that I'm having about my own self while I'm reading it. And I'm someone who like teaches on trauma, you know, so, but that I'm still a student and I'm still learning, and I'm still growing and healing myself. And I expect this to be a lifelong journey. And I don't say that in a negative way. I just say that in like factual.
So for a woman who, has, you know, whatever her story looks like, Treasures, is there a way for them to connect with you if they're like, I really resonate with what Harmony is saying, or I have secrets no one knows about? Is that something they could connect with Treasures, or something like, I guess, would your organization be able to help any of our listeners, or is it focused on something different?
Yeah. So any of your listeners who have ever at any point worked in the commercial sex industry in any way, shape, or form, or are currently, that's who our services are designed for. So we have virtual support groups that are survivor-led. We have a mentoring program for people who are in the program. We have then a coaching program. We have a care manager who helps with, like, you know, resourcing and equipping women. And we have lots and lots of resources. Like, we can help with vocational and educational support, all kinds of things. I mean, we have a vast network of resources. So absolutely contact us. The best way to do that would be to go to our website at iamatreasure.com, and you can put this in the show notes as well. But there is a link that says industry and ex-industry girls only. You click that, you give your information. If you're comfortable putting in your address, we'll send you a free care package with a copy of my book. And if you, whatever you're interested in, you just check the boxes of like, I want to know more about support groups, and we'll send you that information. And for your listeners who have not experienced sexual exploitation or worked in the commercial sex industry in any way, and if their issues are more dealing with like sexual abuse in general, that's where I would recommend them to start with going to that website. I wish I knew the name of it off the top of my head. I'm gonna look it up. And we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
It's the National Sexual Assault Hotline. And there are a lot of resources there. 1-800-656-4673. And you can also look up their website. And I think they even have it where you can like chat with people. And another one is RAINN, RAINN, which is a sexual assault hotline.
Okay, perfect. And now I know we have women who are like, you know, that's not my background, but I would absolutely love to get involved, like, and help locally, or I have this passion. I want to help women know their identity in Christ. What's the best way if someone has that just desire to reach out to other women, you know, in their own city, kind of doing the work like what you're doing? Do you have any recommendations of how they could get started with that?
Oh, absolutely. So first of all, if they're in the LA area, we definitely recommend connecting with Treasures on our website. There are volunteer application forms, and you can even just reach out to us and ask how to get involved. And there's a get involved page on the website for this exact reason. In fact, that would be a great place for everyone to start, is that get involved page. But the other thing that we have created are digital trainings for people who want to do this kind of work in their cities, or people who already are and want to get more equipped. And the trainings are designed to equip people in best practices for working with survivors of exploitation and trafficking, for care and for outreach. So there's a few different training tracks. There's one for allies and service providers. There's another one for faith-based allies and service providers. And then there's one that's the most comprehensive, that's our outreach and care training for people who actually want to do outreach as well and start an organization in their city. So we created digital trainings for all of those things.
Wow. That's amazing. I feel like there is something for everyone on your website. So no matter where you fall on this spectrum, y'all, I feel like getting connected with Harmony and her organization, Treasures, would just be amazing. I mean, I absolutely love the work that you're doing, and I want, you know, to just come behind you and support that and just cheer you on, and just say thank you. You know, I mean, just everything you're sharing, even, you know, the work that you're having to do right now, just personally, it's like, that is so amazing that you are willing to just put yourself out there to help other women and to be so vulnerable and, you know, to just continue to share. It's really, really incredible. And I'm just so grateful that the Girl Defined community is getting to know you. And hopefully everyone can go grab your book and just connect on your website. Is there any last word you want to leave with our community? Is maybe a word of hope just for the women who are just feeling down, maybe hopeless, feeling like, it just seems like such a long road of recovery. I don't even know my identity in Christ. They're just feeling down right now. What would you want to leave them with?
Oh, yeah, that overwhelm could be real. I would just say first pause, take a big breath. Notice that the breath in your lungs is keeping you alive. And if you still have breath in your lungs, then there is always hope and your journey's not done. And there's a bright future in front of you. And yes, the recovery journey is work, but it's worth it. And you are worth it. And don't give up. Don't give up. Just, and also resist those lies that would want to tell you that you're alone, that you're not enough, that things will never be different for you. Oh, that harmony, that's one thing. She did that, but not me. No, absolutely you. I am not an anomaly. There is no reason why you can't access the hope and healing and freedom that you deserve. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if we want to connect with you on social media, anywhere else besides your website, where else can our listeners connect with you?
Yeah, you can connect with me at I Am Harmony Dust on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all the things. And then also at Treasures LA is for Treasures. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Harmony, thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us and just encouraging and bringing so much hope. I just really appreciate you sharing with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.